Welcome to the Kingdom Come podcast, brought to you from Cliffdale Christian Center in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you soon.
You know, I started last week talking, we've been talking the past several weeks about skills, but last week we started talking about Joe skills and looking at the story of Joseph. And I kind of hit a little, speed bump, roadblock, barricade this week because I started thinking to myself, how can I tie in part two of Joe Skills and Mother's Day? How can I fit these together? And then it was as if I heard the voice of the Lord say, don't you get it, son? Joe Mama got skills. And I said, oh, look out now. Come on, look at a mom in the house and say, you got skills. Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we are continuing to talk about Joseph and his skills. The life of Joseph happens, somewhere in the range of, there's contradictory reports, 1800 to 2000 BC-ish. Some go as far as to say 2004 BC or 2400 BC. Joseph is about 17 years old, and he is known for his dreams. We see early on in 37 that he begins to have these dreams that there are sheaves that have been bundled together of wheat, and that all of his brothers' sheaves bow down to his sheave. He begins to have dreams of the moon and the stars all bowing down to him. He tells his brother, he tells his mother, tells his father of these dreams, and his brothers begin to resent him. They begin to, hold this grudge against him, even to the point where they begin to act on that grudge. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 37. Beginning in verse 23, it says, "And so it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes, and they looked, and a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh were on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, 'What does it profit us if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our own brother. He is our flesh.' And his brothers listened, and the Midianite traders passed by, and so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Then they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, 'The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?' And they took Joseph's tunic, and they took a kid of goats and dipped the tunic in its blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and brought it to their father, and they said, 'We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?' And he recognized it, and he said, 'My son, it is my son's tunic, and a wild beast has devoured him. Without a doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces, and Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth on his waist, and he mourned for his son for many days. And all of his sons and his daughters arose to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'I shall go down and to the grave, my son, or my, to the grave to my son in mourning.' Thus the father wept. Now the Midianites had sold in Egypt to Potiphar, or had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh and the captain of his guard." Heavenly Father, today, God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just, God, as we continue to study on skills and how to be skillful, God, allow our hearts to be open today. God, allow our minds to be open. Father, we desire more than anything else to receive from your word. And God, as we receive from your word, allow us, God, to have the courage and the strength to apply that word to our lives so that we might be more skillful in the things that we do. God, that we might be more skillful in the things that we say and the places that we go. Father, we know that you have created us with destiny. with vision to live extraordinary lives, but in order to live these lives, we must be individuals who are skillful. So Holy Spirit, teach us today, we pray. Pray this with me, church. Say, Father, I open my heart. I open my mind to receive from your word. I desire to be skillful. God, I want to be more skillful today than I was yesterday, and even more skillful tomorrow than I am today. So teach me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at this story of Joseph, we see, I'll say, kind of like three major trials that Joseph has to go through. As I said before, this is taking place around the time of 2000 BC, 2000 years before Christ. Joseph, at this point in his life, is around 17 years old. Now, understand that Joseph lived to be around 110 years old. He lived to be a ripe old age. And he told the children of Israel that one day they would leave Egypt, and when they left Egypt, he spoke forth in faith, "When you leave Egypt, I desire for you to take my bones with you." He realized that there would come a day when the children of Israel would leave, and he desired to be a part of that exodus. You know, Joseph has just an extraordinary life. But you know, it didn't really start out all that extraordinary. It started out, goodness sake, with a pretty haughty, a bit prideful young man. A haughty, prideful young man who probably talked too much. Do we have any young men in this place? Hallelujah. Who can bear witness? Glory. Oh, then fellas, I'll lift my hands. There have been many conversations that I've had that I've walked away from and said, next time, Josh, just keep your mouth shut. My grandpa used to say it best. He said, if you can't say nothing nice, keep your mouth shut. Well, that was my grandfather. And that's what Joseph was as a young man. He was a boastful, he was proud, and we know that God has vision for his life. There are dreams, the extraordinary, that God desires to do, but we know that in order for him to accomplish these things, God's going to have to begin to shape him. God's going to have to begin to mold him. And we see, like I said, three great trials, tribulations, storms, difficulties that Joseph kind of has to face from his place where he was in his father's house in order to make it to the palace and begin to accomplish the destiny that God has for him. There's pros and cons to each one of these trials, these tribulations, these difficulties, these hardships. We know, of course, the first one, being thrown into the pit. After being thrown into the pit, he's sold into slavery. After being sold into slavery, he is thrown into prison. And it takes these three great trials in order to get him to the place where God desires for him to be so that he might accomplish the destiny that God desires for him to accomplish. Understand, my friend, you have God's purpose. God has a plan. He's got a destiny for your life. But sometimes getting from point A to point B will have to undergo some hardships, maybe some difficulties. There may be times when we feel like we are in that pit, in the prison, when we feel like we have been sold into slavery, but I have found no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, there's always room for us to learn, there's always room for us to grow. Each circumstance, each situation, no matter how difficult or how grim, there are good things we can pull from that. There's pros and cons to both the good and the bad in our life. Pastor Josh, that's crazy. How can that even be? My friends, the cons of being in the pit. Being in the pit, well, number one, is really difficult because of who put you there. And in the case of Joseph, it was his brothers, those who he thought he could trust. Metaphorically, my friends, has anybody you ever trusted thrown you in the pit? Have you ever been there? Now, understand that again, even the pit has its pros and cons. Its cons, number one, we don't like people we trust to be the ones who throw us in the pit. Those who perhaps we have been brought up to trust and acknowledge, our older brothers, and here they are, the ones who throw us in this pit. Maybe you have never experienced this, but coming up in Haiti, we had cisterns. And really that's what the scripture is speaking of. It's speaking of a dry well or a dry cistern. And we had above ground cisterns and we had below ground cisterns. And in these cisterns, and a cistern is a large pit, covered or uncovered, that would hold water. And you would pump this water out, and that's how we would get water for our houses. We had this house on the beach in Mowi, Haiti. And just outside of our house, we had a large cistern. As a kid, it seemed gigantic. And it was concrete all the way around, and then it had a lid on it about yay big, where you could send buckets down to dip water up. We actually had two water beds that we brought down to Haiti, and we had to carry 5-gallon buckets of water to the second story of this house in order to fill up these water beds. Whoo! Lord! Anyway, enough of that. But there were times when we would have to get down into the cistern, right? And we would have to clean the cistern out. It would have to be washed. It'd have to be scrubbed. It'd have to be, flushed out. And it was a crazy thing that took place when you got inside the cistern. Because it could be a boiling hot summer's day down in Haiti. And as soon as you got into that cistern, it just got like 20 degrees cooler. You were no longer sitting in the heat. And it was almost like you were in this very dark place, but you were in this place that was surrounded with also like a measure of security. You were almost like, you were almost like in this secret place. He who dwells, somebody, in the secret place. I wonder how many times we misunderstand the pit when God is trying to put us in a secret place. All we can see is the pit that is around us, and we're beating on the walls. Let me out! 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 And all the while, God is saying, I've placed you, I've tucked you away in this secret place, and he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. My friends, there's not many differences between that secret place and the pit. The difference is your perception of it. You see, if we seize the opportunity of the pit, it can be a very far and away place. A place, an opportunity for us to be with our Heavenly Father. To be tucked away in His little cove. I don't care how we got there. The circumstances that brought us to that place, perhaps it is those we have trusted. Perhaps it is those that we have relied upon. Perhaps our feelings have been hurt, but we need to seize this opportunity to be in His secret place. It's not all the time that we will remain in that secret place. God will pull us out of that place, but in that day, in that moment, when you're feeling alone, when you're feeling all by yourself, number one, know that you are not, but number two, know that you have an opportunity to be with your Heavenly Father. It is an opportunity for intimacy. It is an opportunity to run away with Him, to be with Him, to experience your Heavenly Father on a one-on-one basis. Oh, how many times do we not seize the opportunity of the pit? How many times do we not take hold of that opportunity to spend time with our Heavenly Father, to spend time in His presence, to spend time in what I'll say is His bosom, in His arms? We're trying so hard to get out of that lonely place. We're trying, and God all the while is saying, no, my son, my daughter, I'm calling you away. Now listen, listen, listen. This is number one. This is the first step of preparation. This is like first base, man. If we refuse to be alone, if we refuse to allow our Heavenly Father to get intimate with us, we will never be able to be prepared for the palace. This is the first step of preparation. We've got to go through the pit. We've got to embrace that, spend time with our Heavenly Father, and not just do it out of begrudge. I mean, how many, when we're in that place, we begrudge it? God, why have you put me here? Grr. Like I said, beating on the walls. Let me out, let me out, let me out. And God says, why don't you let me in? Why don't you allow me into that place Why don't you seize this moment, seize this time, seize this season? As a matter of fact, the Heavenly Father is saying, I encourage you, I challenge you, I say to you, seize this moment, seize this season, because it will be required of you when you get out of here. You're going to need something from me, says the Lord, when you get out of this place, so you better get it while the getting is good. So I desire to be that person who, even in the midst of the pit, I seize that moment. I seize that time. I embrace it. I take all that my Heavenly Father has for me from that place, because I realize what I'm entering into in my next season, I may really need what I've gotten from there. And we see in Joseph's life, his very next season, right? It says in verse 25, and they sat down to eat a meal. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, and their camels bearing spices, balm, myrrh was on the way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand not be upon him, for he is our own brother, he is our own flesh. And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, and his brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Joseph is now entering into his season of servitude. Pros and cons of that season of servitude. Number one, con. You're going to have to serve. Being that servant, being that slave is oftentimes humiliating. Being in that season when you say, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass from me, let it be so, but nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Father, I'm going to praise you, whether I'm sitting in the sanctuary or I'm scrubbing the toilet, because God, I desire to be your servant. I desire to serve in your kingdom. And Joseph is now entering into that time of service, and doggone it, it's hard. It's difficult. There is a measure of hardship and difficulty that comes when you walk into that season. Well, it kind of depends, again, just like the pit, on your perception of it. If you embrace your servanthood, then if you enjoy it, if you acknowledge it, as a matter of fact, dare I say, if you do all things as unto the Lord, then what you are doing, whether you're standing here lifting your hands or you're cleaning the toilet, if you do it all as unto the Lord, no matter what it is, will be an honor. Because you will be able to look at that and say, Father, I am going to serve Potiphar as though I am serving you. God, I'm going to wash Potiphar's carpet and his floors as though they are the floors of heaven. I'm going to serve, God, with the best of 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 all of my ability. You see, it doesn't matter whether we're in Potiphar's house or where we are. Again, it is our perception of that situation. It is our perception of that time. And if we can take hold of that time, if we can lay claim to it, if we can own it, if we can embrace it, then God can use even that time of servitude. He can use it to build us up. And understand, whether it's the pit, whether it's the prison, whether it's Potiphar's house, it does not matter, because God is doing something on the inside of you. He is molding you. He is shaping you through these situations. And the question is, so many times, you know what? It's like this revolving door. We as Christians, we've got to go through the pit to Potiphar's house, to the prison, but we didn't get the first time what God had for us, so we got to go back to the pit, back to Potiphar's house, and back to the prison. We still don't get it. We're still murmuring and complaining and bickering, and our heart is getting harder, so we got to go back to the pit and back to Potiphar's house and back to the prison. And it's this revolving door that's going round and round and round. Can I tell you, stop going round? Get the good stuff God has for you, because the palace is waiting. And the palace is not simply there for your pleasure, but the palace is there to give you the authority so that you might bring salvation, just as Joseph did, to the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, and all the surrounding nations. But here we are, just going around that revolving door. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie Elf? Yeah. You know, when he keeps getting in the revolving door, right? But you see what happens. Y'all know the part I'm talking about? He does it over and over. Here's some spiritual truth for you. And over until what? Till he gets sick. He ends up running to the trash can and throwing up, because he's going round and round and round and round And so many of us, we go round and round and round and round until we're spiritually sick. My friends, I desire that my Heavenly Father would seize every opportunity to endow me with His good stuff. That my perception would be the big picture, that I would see farther and further and realize the pit, all it is an opportunity for me to spend time with my Heavenly Father. Realize that even when I'm in Potiphar's house and having to serve, that's my opportunity to serve as though I'm serving my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And even when I get the betrayal and then I am thrown into prison. And you want to talk about prison, y'all. Prison in ancient Egypt was not like prison today. They didn't have cable television and workout rooms, these little fences all around. No, prison in ancient Egypt was woof. I mean, the epitome of hardship, brutality, torture, difficulty. I mean, if at any place in Joseph's life this was hard, this was difficult, I mean, dirty, rotten, stinking, torture, nasty, beaten. I don't know how many adjectives I can use. I mean, it was, right? And here he was in this place of hardship, this place of difficulty. But yet, God desired to, God desired to use the prison to propel him to the palace. And as a matter of fact, dare I say that it was indeed the prison that propelled him to the palace. You want to talk about a story of rags to riches. But understand, it's all a matter of our perception. You see, Joseph had the right perception even while he was in prison. He served. He did his best. He acted with honor. He acted with integrity. If at any time he could have been down in the dumps and shook his fist at God, it was at this moment. It was at this hardship. But he chose at that moment to give all that he had, all that he had. And God used that moment in the prison to propel him into the palace. He used that moment to literally thrust him into his destiny. Could it be that that time, moment, place, storm, situation, circumstance is ideally purposed to propel you to your palace? That thing that you are currently going through. Because understand that God does not desire for you to remain in the pit, in Potiphar's house, or the prison. God desires to propel you every, look at your neighbor and say every time into the palace. God has nothing but good, great, wonderful, powerful stuff for you. But your journey to get there may sometimes encounter a pit, or a Potiphar's house, or a prison. And listen, I am not one of those believers who is like, well, it just must be God's will. That I go through this, oh, woe is me. You know what I believe more times than not is that it is my own hard-headedness that God is trying to shake off of me, and that's why times in the pit and the prison and Potiphar's house are necessary. It's me eating the apple, right? You know, that forbidden fruit. It's me messing up and making mistakes, and God's like, you know what, son? I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to keep molding, I'm going to keep shaping, and I'm going to use this to do it, and I'm going to use this to do it, and I'm going to use this to do it. Why? Because I love you so much, and I have a destiny for you. Listen, God loves you so much, and He has a destiny for your life. But you're not ready for it yet. You're not ready for tomorrow's blessings today. And in order to get you ready, in order to prepare you, sometimes He's got to shape and mold. He's got to form. And that shaping, that molding, that forming is not altogether always comfortable. Sometimes, well, I mean, let's just be real, friends. When we are in that place of comfort, oftentimes we don't change. We simply get lazy. It's during the times of challenge that we've got to buck up, that we've got to rise up, that we've got to say, you know what? I may be in the pit, but I'm not going to be here forever. I may be in Potiphar's house, but I'm not going to be here forever. I may be in the prison, but I'm not going to be here forever. And as a matter of fact, the worse the pit, the worse Potiphar's house, the worse the prison, the greater the destiny. Because I know by looking at my past that God has a great, wonderful, and mighty future for me. So I don't begrudge those hardships. I thank God for the change that he brought about in my life due to those hardships, because that speaks to my destiny. It speaks to the goodness, the greatness that God has for you and I. So I say to the enemy, enemy, ha, bring it on. Because I know every battle is just preparing me for greater blessing.